Sabbath.
Before we get started, I would like to pray one more time, just to invite the Holy Spirit to speak through me and to be in this place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the way that you work in our hearts, Lord. You desire to bring us from survival to revival, Lord. You desire to give us life, Lord, to help us to thrive in our relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that as I speak and as Tim speaks today, Lord, it will not be our voices, Lord, but yours speaking through us. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to be in this place, continue to guide and lead. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From survival to revival. Now, when I think of survival, I think of barely getting by. I think of people surviving in the wilderness, maybe not living with much. I think of the people who are in the world all around us just barely getting by emotionally, spiritually, mentally each day. People who even may have much, but they're just surviving. In fact, this has been what has happened in God's church. God's people have been surviving this whole time, but what is the difference between surviving and thriving? How can we come to the point where we are so connected with Christ, where God's church is so connected with Him, that we move from survival to revival? Now, I want to go ahead and look at a few examples in history at how God has given the elements of revival for us, but we've taken it so far, but we've never brought it to completion. And throughout history, the Israelites are one example of that. God's people were so rebellious against him. Many a times they would go and just do their own thing, but God was desiring to bring them to a point where they could have a new heart and have a new spirit within them. And he used many prophets throughout history and the history of Israel to bring this to a reality, but they only took it so far and they never completed it. And finally, Jesus came and his own people were not ready to receive him. Let's look at an example in Ezekiel 37 at how God wanted to revive his people and what he wants to do in our lives. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. And starting with verse 1, let's look step by step at what's going on here. The Israelites are once again rebelling against God, and so God is speaking to this one person, Ezekiel, to try and bring his people back to them. And he uses Ezekiel in a very powerful way, but first he must teach Ezekiel what it means to have revival. Let's go ahead and read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" So God tests Ezekiel's faith, and he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel replies, "You know, Lord." "Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Now my question is right here, Why did God ask Ezekiel to say this to the valley of bones for them to become flesh? I think of Jesus when he told Lazarus to come from the tomb. I heard a preacher say one time that he had to specifically say Lazarus because if he just said come forth, then all the graves would open. And I see that this is the power of God's word. It's creative. It has the power to bring life out of nothing. So why did the bones not just come alive as soon as God said that these valley of bones would become flesh? Well, I think that the Lord was teaching Ezekiel and us a very important lesson. Let's keep reading. And it says, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh... Oh, so I prophesied, sorry, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So first God says, I want you to command these bones to become flesh. But were they living at that point? No, they weren't. What was missing? The breath of life. Let's keep reading. Okay. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, but the skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So once again, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding and great army. So what was the thing that was missing before they became an exceeding great army? What was missing before they actually had life? It was the breath, right? What does breath symbolize? What does breath mean? The Spirit of God, that's right. Also, a quote by Ellen White says that that the breath of the soul is prayer. This just shows that at the heart of revival, at the heart of revival in our hearts, are a few elements. We've seen a few of them in here, but we have to kind of search for them. One of them is simply believing in the Word of God. So could this mean Bible study? Another one of them is the breath, the prayer, the breath of the soul. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. You can live a little while without food, but you can only live a few minutes without air. And then the third element is they became an army. What does an army do? They fight? So what is this army? What is God intending this army to fight against? Maybe sin. Maybe the enemy, which is Satan. And so you see, maybe even fighting in ministry, maybe even doing evangelism and saving other souls. So you see, revival is evangelism, prayer, Bible study. But there's one element that's missing. We know this to be in the most holy place. We've heard that, or in the holy place, we've heard this so many times that, oh, the lampstand represents evangelism, the prayer, or the altar of incense symbolizes prayer, the table of showbread symbolizes Bible study. We've had this all throughout history. Even in the Adventist church, we've had this. So what is missing? What is the element that we do not have before Jesus comes back? Because we are missing something, right? Otherwise, Jesus would be here. Well, let me read to you a few powerful quotes, because we can learn so much from the sanctuary. In the holy place, we see the way that we are supposed to live our life, the way that Jesus took his strength, had his strength, and lived that perfect life was through evangelism, through prayer, communing with the Father, and through studying the Word. But there's one thing that Jesus had that we have not been completed, that has not been completed in us yet. I want to go ahead and read to you. a quote by Ellen White says, true faith lays hold of and claims the promised blessing before it is realized and felt. We must send up our petitions in faith within the second veil. And let our faith take hold of the promised blessing and claim it as ours. We are then to believe that we receive the blessing because our faith has taken hold of it, and according to the word, it is ours. Here is faith, naked faith, to believe that we receive the blessing even before we realize it. When the promised blessing is realized and enjoyed, faith is swallowed up. But many suppose they have much faith when sharing largely of the Holy Spirit, and they cannot have faith unless they feel the power of the Spirit. Such confound faith with the blessing that comes through faith. She says that we need to move out of the holy place, and we need to move by faith behind the second veil. What is the second veil? Does anyone know? It's moving into the most holy place. But we cannot be in the presence of God, can we? The people in the Israelites, the high priest that would go in that one day of the year, they would die if they were in Christ, in God's presence. That was where the Shekinah glory was, the very presence of God. Moses would come down from the mountain in the presence of God, and the Israelites could not look upon his face because it was so bright and shining. So we cannot see the presence of God without dying. So what's the key? How do we enter within that second veil? Through the mediation of Jesus Christ. That's right. That's the one thing that we are missing. It's found in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And it's found in verse 12. These are the people who finally make it. They finally complete the revival process in their hearts. This is what it says about them. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, I used to think this is just faith in Jesus. But is it? It's the faith of Jesus. There's a distinction. There's a difference between saying, oh yeah, I love God. I have faith in Jesus. I believe he was the Son of God, died 2,000 years ago. That's cool. And then having the faith of Jesus, where he was praying in Gethsemane and saying, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. Having the exact same faith that brought Jesus to the cross is what God is desiring to do in our hearts. And when that's complete, the revival will be complete and he'll be able to come and take us home. Now, I think my time is about up. And Tim is going to share with you guys the last part of the message of how God wants to bring us over the finish line. We have prayer. We have evangelism. We have prayer conferences. We have Bible studies. We have all these things. But the one element that needs to happen is by faith. And Tim's going to share about how the church now is trying to do this, how we are trying, how God, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts before this can actually be taken to the world.